say good morning to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good to see all who have come to worship here in Hebron. Our opening praise is the hymn 390. Dear Saviour, thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me. Let me repeat thy name and lift my heart to thee. So let me sing thy praise, so let me call thee mine. I cannot doubt thy word. I know that I am thine. Noticing the Reverend Hannah and his wife Narana with us today. And brother, just in a moment, if you would come and lead us in prayer, we'd love to have you participate in the service. We welcome you. We know you're over for the Vision Conference, Vision Mission Conference in Lisburn, and it's good to have our brother back in his home congregation. We read a psalm week by week, and we come to the shortest psalm of all, and we're going to read these verses, the Psalm 117, just two verses, before we come to the throne of grace in prayer. It's a psalm that begins with praise, and it declares the mercy of God, the merciful kindness that God has shown to his people, and it ends in praise. We're here to worship God. We're here to praise his name and elevate the Redeemer, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. And we all say amen to that. We trust that God will bless his word. Reverend Hannah, if you'd come and lead us to the throne of grace. Welcome to Hebron on this beautiful day. You maybe brought the good weather with you. I'm not complaining about that. Thank you, brother.
Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, it is with thanksgiving that we draw into thy holy presence this Sabbath morning. We rejoice, Father, in all thy goodness to us. We are reminded in this opening hymn of thy great love toward us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we thank thee that your love was manifested to us personally when the Lord Jesus Christ took our sins and bore the guilt of our sin on the cross. We thank thee that he was delivered up for our offenses, but he was raised again for our justification. And so, Father, it is with that assurance that we are thine, and we are thine because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that blood that was shed at Calvary, but that blood that was applied to our hearts on that day when, by thy grace, we cried unto thee for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank thee, therefore, for the access that we have into thy presence. We come, we present ourselves before thee. We know we are unworthy in and of ourselves. But we thank thee that we have been made worthy through the Lamb of God, through our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because your word tells us that we are accepted in him. And we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we exalt thy holy name this Sabbath day. We praise thee for this opportunity that we have, the freedom that we have to be able to gather in this manner, conscious that in so many parts of the world there are those who have not that freedom. And Lord, we think in particular of that part of the world that is in war at this time, the Ukraine. And Father, we pray for thy mercy and for thy grace to thy church in those circumstances that they live through. We pray for your people that you will bless them and comfort them and give them the grace that they need in this their time of need. We thank thee for the testimony that comes to us and the challenge that comes to us through so many of the testimonies that we have heard of the stand that your people are taking for thee. We pray, Father, that thou wilt therefore give guidance to those who are in government. And we pray that thou wilt deal with this man whose heart is bent on destruction. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt deal with him either in grace or in justice. We leave that before thee, but we pray thy will be done. And then we think, Lord, of the other parts of the world where your church is also being persecuted. We would commend your people to thee in these circumstances. We pray that thou wilt give them the grace to be able to stand for thee in these terrible circumstances. Now, Father, we give thee thanks for all who are gathered here this Sabbath morning, the desire that you've put in our hearts to come and to worship thee. Father, be pleased to draw near and to touch each and every one of our hearts, how we need thee. Thou dost know every heart. Thou dost know every need. You know the homes where we come from, the circumstances we leave behind us that we have to return to. We commend, therefore, your people, Lord, who are going through difficult times, those who are sick, laid aside. We thank thee that thou art the great physician. Put your hand upon them. Raise them up to the fullness of health and strength. We pray, Lord, for those who are downcast, those who are going through times of depression. We pray that thou wilt be with them in their dark tunnels, in their dark hours. Lord, give them the grace that they need, because you've said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Father, we pray too for our nation, having just had this election. We pray that thou wilt be pleased now to come. And we ask, Lord, that thou wilt visit us spiritually. How we need a stirring, how we need to be quickened, how, Lord, we need to be revived. We pray, therefore, that thou wilt work upon the hearts of your people, for revival must begin with the people of God. Father, we pray for salvation. Many who are in our family circles who are yet without Christ, those who are seeking to reach with the gospel, we pray, Father, that thou wilt cause the seed of your word to find place in hearts that are prepared by the Spirit of God, that they may be born again of the Spirit of God. We pray too, Father, for the mission work of our denomination. We thank thee for this week, and we thank thee for the meetings. The meeting last night, we thank you, Lord, for your presence and for your word and the challenge of your word. We pray that that will be so every single meeting. We think of the meetings today, the meetings throughout the week. Grant, Lord, that each one who will preach the word will know the anointing and the infilling of the Spirit of God. Pray for your servant here this morning as he preaches the word. Take him up, Lord. We pray that thou wilt fill him with thy Spirit. We pray that he'll be God's mouthpiece for each and every one of us. We think of those in our gathering who may yet be unsaved. Lord, in thy mercy, deal with them. We pray for conviction of sin. We pray, Lord, for that grace that they will cry unto thee for mercy. Now, Father, we confess our sins before thee. We are conscious that we come before a thrice holy God, but we thank thee that thou art also merciful. And you said if we confess our sins, that thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Grant us that cleansing through the blood today, the infilling of your Spirit, that in all things the Lord Jesus Christ would have the preeminence, that thy name would be exalted and glorified. We pray this in our Savior's blessed and worthy name. Amen.
For those that don't know, the Reverend Hannah has been for many, many years, well over 40 years, ministering in the land of Spain as a missionary there. And of course, he's known to our home congregation here in Ballymoney. I want to bid you welcome in the Saviour's precious name to the house of God today. Welcome to the congregation. Welcome to those that are part of our church on the internet, listening in with us. We welcome the Reverend Mrs. Hannah. We welcome Donald and his wife Jackie, who have been with us more often in recent times because of what has been happening this past few weeks. And so, brother and sister, you're very welcome. You've been the conduit to bring these folks to Northern Ireland, and we appreciate that. We want to welcome our Ukrainian friends again. 19 of them have been with us for a little time now, and another 14 came yesterday on a beautiful day. And we want particularly to welcome those that have just arrived. So, Anna, we're going to ask maybe those folks to just as first of all stand up so that we see who they are. We will welcome them, the 14 that have arrived. Okay, welcome. It's good to have you. So at the start, I counted five, and then the others got the message and they stood up. If the the adults would like to maybe just say their name and say something to us, those that would like to speak. So we are reliant upon our translator, Anna, to help us out here. We have a microphone. Amen. Okay, the little girl in the pink. Okay, so there are three children, there are three boys.
Daniel, Rostislav and Daniel, the two boys. Three boys. And Marek, sorry.
So you're very welcome to Ballymoney. And tonight we're having a special welcome service for you. So we will be able to hear more about that later on. We're calling it the official welcome service. 7 o'clock tonight, and there will be special singing. So yeah, the Hebron choir will sing. The Ukrainian choir will sing. There is another piece that is very near to the hearts of these people. He Will Hold Me Fast. And Rebecca's going to help us with that tonight. So we look forward to the service. The pastor will bring a greeting to the congregation. And then I'll have a message of welcome to these folks. There are still a few more to come. So there's 33 here now. And I think there's another four or five that will be arriving over the next few weeks. So you've seen maybe this advert that's gone out over Facebook just explaining the service tonight. Supper will be served, and we're asking our ladies again to help out with this that we can have a time together. Sunday school teachers, remember, please, the prayer meeting for our teachers is tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. We're praying much for the Mission Vision Conference in Lisburn. We've given you the details. We've given you the literature. We want you to pray every day for this Mission Vision Conference. It's to rekindle in our hearts that desire for the Lord, for His work, particularly the Great Commission. And night by night, various ones will be giving missionary presentations. The preaching of the Word will go forth every night. And on Saturday, interactive workshops. We certainly commend that to you to travel on Saturday. Thursday night is our midweek service at 8 o'clock as we gather for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. And our clerk of session, Phil Moffat, will be bringing the Word. I'll be involved in the Lisburn meetings on Thursday night. There'll be special prayer for the Christian school. Friday, the youth fellowship will be traveling to Lisburn for the conference. The buses will be leaving. That should be 6:30. I had this done earlier in the week, and then we thought, well, you know, it takes at least an hour to get there, and young people, you want to get there in good time. And when you say 6:45, it's usually another 5 minutes before you get off. So let's aim to be here at 6:30. If any of the Ukrainians want to travel, we'll try and make provision for them as well that night if they would like to be part of that. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting, 8 o'clock. The Sabbath school, 10:30. The Bible class at 10:30. Fellas dealing with the subject of revival. The channels of revival for next Lord's Day. The surrendered life of the precious people of God. our worship service, 12 noon, and we're dealing with the subject, why we called our church Hebron. And we're starting that today just to remind us what we're about as a congregation. The gospel meeting is at 7, preceded by the prayer meeting at 6:30. And we thank you sincerely for your tithes and offerings for God's work. Today is Let the Bible Speak envelopes and missionary covenant support. No, it's actually building fund today. That should have been changed. So remember the building fund envelopes today. I'm going to mention that the baptism service is now tomorrow week, Monday the 16th of May. I'm sure everyone has contacted us that feels exercised this way. If not, you would need to see me very, very soon. There's a congregational meeting the following Monday night for our communicant members, and it is to do with our charity registration. We have given you the detail about that, and the sheets are at the door, what we're voting on. Sunday school camp, the numbers are now coming in from the children from our Sunday school to go on camp this year from the 22nd to the 24th of August. Please remember those that are laid aside through illness, that the Lord will be with them. And we're re-adding to the list there our brother John Finlay, who is still quite unwell with his cancer. Pray for him, please. Wednesday night was historic because we had our first ladies' fellowship, and they gathered into the fellowship area, well named, and that service took place, and we were delighted to see so many that were there, and for our sister Pat, who brought that talk on the Passover. It was very interesting and challenging. This was in Sunday school this morning. Some of the children, it was great to see the room packed with children. And as you know, we've made provision for the new Ukrainian Sunday school class. So it's expanding up here in the pulpit is where they've been allocated. And you can see now the kids that are gathered in with an interpreter present so that the children can be instructed in the things of God. We sometimes say to you, you can't go to Sunday school, but we can bring Sunday school to you. And so we should be able to hear them sing a little bit this morning. So I'll play that now. You would think that you arrived with the Ukrainians yesterday. I know that they're very, very tired because they started their journey from 2 o'clock in the morning yesterday and they came in the evening and they were extremely tired. You looked a bit tired this morning. Anyhow, we continue to pray for the feeding of the 90 orphan children in India. We're coming now into the second year of supporting these children. And this week we got these photographs from our brother Dipankar, just showing us some of the children that are benefiting month by month with the food parcels that are being sent. We showed you on Thursday night some of the photographs from Muldamanoa in Romania. The former pastor from this district, his wife was visiting. She has not forgotten these children, and so she sent me some photographs. She was down visiting her parents, and she visited this community and brought them some clothes and some food on behalf of our church here. We also had a visit this week from a pastor in Kenya. He is over for the Vision Conference, Pastor Andrew, and he came to see the church. He was passing by, going up to see the North Antrim coast, and he wanted to see the church here. And so we received him, and we had Sasha here to welcome him. So they got their picture taken together. This was passing through the airport in Stansted yesterday. This is the new group coming over. They were in Poland coming through London. And then the welcome at the airport here, the International Airport at Alta Grove yesterday afternoon. We continue to pray for Sveta and her mother as they are seeking to travel to the country, so please remember them. And then maybe just to mention, the first English class took place. This was the first English class with those that were here on Friday morning, and we thank Karen for coming in to instruct them in the North Antrim English accent. So they'll know where the tune is and all those kind of things. And, we just appreciate the work that's being put into that. We're going to sing together the hymn 305, "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain?" It's good to be able to say we have an anchor that keeps the soul. And I trust today that you are anchored in Christ. And if not, that you will come to him this very day. Will your anchor hold? Turn in the Word of God with me to Joshua and the chapter 20 for a Bible reading. was preaching at the open door yesterday, and after I preached, John McCauley said to me, "Brother, you got a hoarseness in your throat." And I said, "Yes." So I've been battling a little bit with hoarseness. I looked it up on the internet, what do you do? And there was a number of things given to help with a hoarseness. The first one was to rest, don't speak. Can you imagine that in my home, in the church, a preacher, and these busy days? So that one is not going to work very well. Another advice was to stop drinking alcohol and don't be smoking. Well, that's easy, of course, because we don't do those things. And then another piece of advice was to keep hydrated and to drink plenty of water. So we're trying to do that as well. And one unusual one was don't clear your throat. I don't know why, but we'll try not to clear the throat. Anyhow, we come to this chapter we're going to read. It's a short chapter. We're going to read it all together, trusting that the Lord will speak to our hearts. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled." And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the Mount of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth and Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. We look to the Lord for his blessing upon what we've read, and now upon the preaching of the word. And so we pray together. We ask the Lord for his help and his grace, his wisdom and power. Heavenly Father, we are absolutely reliant upon thee every time we come to this book. For spiritual things are discerned spiritually. And there needs to be the one great teacher coming alongside each one of us today, and that's the blessed Holy Spirit. And so we pray from the beginning for his ministry, his help, his wisdom and power. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon this people as we gather here in your house before your presence. Help the preacher today. Give me physical strength. Give me the anointing of God, that spiritual power from on high. Speak to us, Lord, even as we deal with this subject, that as much in our minds and hearts again in these days, thinking about what we are as a church, what Hebron means, and Lord, apply it to every waiting heart. And make it a blessing to our people and to the friends from Ukraine who have come among us. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. When we opened our new church back in 2006, we gave it a name. A name that we hoped would be significant and meaningful, expressing something of the desire and longing concerning the church that we want to have here in the town of Ballymoney. I took the opportunity on the very first Lord's Day to set before our minds and our hearts what kind of place Hebron is to be. And I give four reasons. These were the thoughts that were impressed upon my heart at the time. We want Hebron, and we have chosen this passage especially because this is what the message is going to be about this morning. We want Hebron to be a city of refuge. And the thought here and the application, as you will see, is to do with the unconverted. We want it to be a place where they can come and find a refuge in the person and the work of Christ. Secondly, we want Hebron to be like the city of Caleb. Caleb received this city. It was given to him, as you know. And Caleb was a man who wholly followed the Lord. That was a characteristic that was singled out concerning this man. We want our people here in our Hebron to be characterized this way. We want you, as a child of God, to wholly follow the Lord. And then thirdly, we want Hebron to be the city where David is crowned king, and we're thinking of the greater David, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We want the Savior to be all in all. We want him to be preeminent. We want him to have his rightful place as King and as Lord of this congregation. And then the fourth thought that we brought to the church all those years ago, we want it to be like this city that had a very significant meaning. Every Bible name has a meaning. And the word Hebron means union. It has the thought of fellowship, and we will come to see this in the fourth message that we bring. But the term Hebron will remind us of the union that we have first and foremost with Christ, the great King and Head of the church. And because of that union that we have with him, the union that we enjoy with each other in the body of Christ. And therefore, we enjoy fellowship together with those of like precious faith because we are united to Christ. And because we are united to Christ, we are united to one another. And that's what brings the fellowship together in a very real sense. Now, giving names to places of special significance is nothing new. It certainly was a biblical practice. In fact, names were far more meaningful and suggestive in Bible times than in this modern age in which we live. Care and attention were given to the names of people and places, especially among the Jews. The names had meanings. People did not just choose a name because it sounded nice or because it was an unusual name, but because they had a message in that name, an important meaning. Jacob renamed the city of Luz to commemorate a special encounter that he had with God. We read about that in Genesis chapter 28. He called it Bethel. Jacob was fleeing from Esau, having cheated him out of his birthright, and he was journeying to his uncle's home in Paddan Aram. And he came to a certain place at sunset, and he lay down to sleep. And that night he had a dream. He dreamed about the ladder that was from earth to heaven, the angels of God ascending and descending upon that ladder, and there in the very center, in the midst of the brightness of it all, was none other than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he experienced, you might say, a most powerful encounter with Almighty God and received wonderful promises from him. When he awoke, he knew that he had met with God. And he exclaimed, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." He was afraid. The holy presence of God made him tremble. And that place felt like a dreadful place. Jacob then made this statement, "This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." And as a result of this close encounter with the glory of God, he renamed it Bethel, the house of God. The Lord was there. Samuel the prophet gave the name Ebenezer to a stone that he set up between Mizpeh and Shen in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And that was to commemorate a great victory that God gave him over the Philistines, a miraculous victory. Ebenezer, and the meaning of the name is, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." A great meaning in the name. Some of our sister congregations over the years have given names to their churches. As you know, I came from Portadown originally. It's Bethany, Free Presbyterian Church. And there's wonderful applications in that, why they call the church Bethany. We have Bethel down in Enniskillen. We have other churches like Calvary, Martyrs Memorial, John Knox, the Nicholson Memorial, Trinity, and all for a reason. I was sitting in a prayer meeting one Thursday night, just about a year before this church building was opened, and it just seemed that the Lord was impressing upon my mind and heart this name of Hebron. And I brought the matter to the elders at that time for consideration and for prayer. And after they had prayerfully thought about the matter, they were all in agreement that when the church opened, Hebron would be the name of this congregation. It's full of meaning. It's full of application. And I want to highlight the reasons why we have this name. And I trust, as I do so, that we shall, all of us, share this burden and labor to this end, to make Hebron a city of refuge where sinners can find Christ, to make Hebron a place where we have Calebs who wholly follow the Lord, to make Hebron a church that exalts Christ in all that he is and all that he came to do, and to make Hebron a congregation of a real and meaningful fellowship where we can know and appreciate the union that we have with one another. Today we come to Hebron, the city of refuge. God had spoken to Moses about special cities that were to be set up in the land of promise. These were to be cities of refuge. These cities were places of protection and security where a person could take refuge if they had killed somebody accidentally or unwittingly. Such a person could flee to one of these cities and they could obtain a sanctuary until the matter was investigated and a ruling was made by the judges of that city. No avenger of blood could harm those that were protected by the law in such circumstances. They couldn't so much as lift a finger against anyone that was in that city of refuge. Hebron was one such city. Now, the application is striking. It is most powerful. You and I, by nature, are manslayers. We are murderers. Unlike the innocent manslayer who killed someone by accident or unintentionally, the sinner stands absolutely guilty before Almighty God. The manslayer, therefore, is a type of the sinner. It points to the murderous nature of sin. Sin brings death upon a man. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sinners who stay in their sin and refuse to come to Jesus Christ for cleansing, they murder every opportunity that God gives to them of being reconciled to Him. The sinning soul crucifies Jesus Christ afresh. He tries to quench the operation of the Holy Spirit who strives in his soul. He kills every thought of repentance and turning to the Savior. He slays those feelings of conviction in the soul, and he resolutely says no to God, no to Christ, no to the Holy Spirit of God. There is an avenger who pursues the sinner. There may be the thought here of sin and Satan himself pursuing the souls of men, seeking to kill them, because that's what sin and Satan desires to do. The devil wants to kill you. The devil wants to bring you into eternity before you find Christ as your Savior. But the real avenger who is on the pursuit is the justice of God. And one day that justice is going to catch up with all men. There is a judgment. There is a day of reckoning. There's a moment of swift and certain death which is eternal. And there's only one safe refuge and protection, and that's Christ. He's the only place. He is, in this sense, the city of refuge for the sinner. There is no other place of security for the guilty soul than Christ, the Savior of man. And I want to look at this marvelous history, the setting aside of these cities of refuge, especially Hebron, and see the remarkable applications that we have. And I'm going to give you words today by way of application. The first one is the word opportunity. God in his goodness and mercy appointed six cities of refuge in the land of Israel where men might flee and find deliverance and shelter from the avenger of blood. A door was opened, a door of hope, a place of asylum was provided, a haven of rest was appointed where men could flee to, especially in these designated cities, and they would be perfectly safe and secure from the avenger. Do not miss the lesson here. When it comes to the great scheme of redemption, God has opened a door of opportunity for men to be delivered and saved from wrath to come. All men by nature are doomed to die. They are under a sentence of awful condemnation if we got our just deserts. My dear friends, we would be cast out for all eternity. We are under the sentence of the second death forevermore. That's what we deserve. My friends, that's what I deserve because of my sin. If God thrust me down to the darkest cavern of the damned and he put me there for the countless years of eternity, I would have to say God is just, God is right, God is perfect in all that he has done. But in grace and mercy, through our blessed Savior and Mediator, Jesus Christ, God has provided a way of escape, a way of deliverance, a way of salvation. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that's open that all may go in. It's at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. I want to tell you, dear sinner, in this meeting today, there is opportunity. There is a city of refuge for you. a place of deliverance, and it's found in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He left the splendor of heaven. He descended down into this old sin-cursed world. He walked among men, doing good, working out righteousness for us. He climbed the hill at Golgotha, where there upon the cross he was crucified for our sin. He poured out his life's blood as the ransom price for our sin. He took upon him the eternal wrath of God and stood in the place of sinners. He suffered, he bled, and died. Tell me, have you anchored your soul in this haven of rest? Can you say, my beloved is mine? When I think of Hebron, I think of Christ. Christ, the refuge for sinners. Our church is to be such a refuge, such a city of refuge, a place where men are introduced to the dear Son of God. We are on a rescue mission in this town. We are to rescue the perishing. We are to care for the dying. We are to snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We are to weep o'er the erring one. We are to lift up the fallen. We are to tell them of Jesus, the mighty deceiver. That's the mission that God has given to us. May God make this church a true Hebron, a city of refuge for souls. May this church be a soul-saving shop within a yard of eternity. As one of our forefathers put it, there's opportunity. The second thing is there's accessibility. These six cities of refuge were strategically and suitably positioned, three on the one side of Jordan, three on the other side. And that meant there was no river standing between the manslayer and the place of safety. All these cities were located in plains. Kadesh in the plains of Zionium, Sychem or Shechem in the place of Moreh, Hebron was in a level wilderness, Golan and Ramoth-Gilead at the foot of their adjoining hills. Only Bezer was on a plateau, but it was easy to get at. The manslayer had no uphill race to run in seeking for deliverance. He did not have to contend with such obstacles that might prevent him getting to this city of refuge. Furthermore, each of these cities stood by a little hill, except for Bezer. That was the one that was a hill or a kind of plateau, which required no additional mark to be necessary. It's going to be seen for miles, this city, standing by a little hill. And these hills, therefore, were like banners to guide the fleeing man to the place of refuge. How good is our God? He appointed, or as he appointed these cities of refuge, he took care that they would be easily accessible. The man who fled for refuge did not have to cross the great river. He did not have to battle across mountain regions or rough terrain. There was even a little hill beside each city to guide those that were fleeing. All he had to do was to keep his eye on that hill and flee with all his might. Here indeed is the sinner's road to the Redeemer, the way to Christ. The way to Christ is accessible. The way to Christ is plain. The way to Christ is signposted. God, in his plan of salvation, did not erect great barriers which would prevent sinners fleeing to Christ. No, it's Satan who erects the barriers to stop you from being saved. It is you and I that put stumbling blocks in the way that prevent us from getting to Christ. It's the world that makes it difficult, that hinders you getting to the refuge. The moment that Satan sees any man or any woman or any young person taking steps toward the place of refuge, he's there putting obstacles in the way. But God has made it plain and simple. Jesus says, I am the way. That's clear. That's easily understood. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no river rolls between the guilty soul and Christ. No hell raises a blockage between the fleeing sinner and the Savior. The way is plain. The way is open. And there's even a little hill to guide the way. It's called Calvary. And you get your eye upon Calvary. You get your eye upon the hill. And that will lead you to Christ. Because it's still the way of the cross that leads home. Accessibility. There's a third word, and that's responsibility. The man over whom a sense of guilt hung had a responsibility to do something. And what was that responsibility? It was to flee. If he had killed a man unawares or accidentally, the family of that man could take revenge and kill him. You know the old law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And therefore, he must not linger in that place. He must not delay his escape. He must flee to the city of refuge and have the matter heard there and lawfully judged. Sinners have a responsibility, a solemn responsibility in this life. Why they live in this world? And that is to flee with all haste from the city of destruction where they dwell, and to flee to the city of refuge. You must flee the wrath to come. The great preacher, the fiery preacher, John the Baptist, standing on the banks of Jordan on one occasion, he saw the religious hierarchy in his congregation. And he lifted up his voice, and with divine authority, he cried, flee from the wrath to come. Oh, my friends, there is a wrath to come. You need to know it. You're sitting in this meeting without Christ. You are abiding under the wrath of God. That wrath of God is to come. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. How will it be with you if you die without the mercy of God? You will face the wrath of God for eternity. Therefore, flee. That word flee just simply means escape. It's like the command that was given to Lot when the angels took him physically by the hands out of Sodom and said, escape for thy life. Escape to the mountain. In other words, Lot, you got to flee. This is your responsibility. If you linger, you will perish. You will die in your sin. The avenger will cut you off. You must not sit back and delay. Is there someone here and you are refusing to flee? You are stained with crimson guilt. You're under condemnation, and yet you sit still. You sit at ease. You're going out into the eternal night of a lost eternity, and you flee not. Oh, my dear friends, let me urge upon you the great responsibility that God has laid upon the sinner. This is what you must do. You must flee. Let me give a fourth word, jeopardy. There's real danger. The manslayer was in serious danger if the avenger got hold upon him. Some died because they made no attempt to flee. They did nothing to save themselves. They failed to flee. And this is going to happen to millions and millions of people through this earth. But I know that I'm speaking to people in this service today, and you have been enlightened. and you have been awakened to the things of God. You have been brought to see your need. You know the truth. You know the danger that you're in. Maybe you've even taken steps to flee to the city of refuge, and maybe you've got halfway. Well, that's no good. You have begun to seek deliverance. We could say today you are a fleeing sinner. You're getting there. You're making steps in the right direction. You've been seeking. You've been searching. You've been striving. It's not enough to start on the road. It's not enough to get halfway. It's not enough to be almost persuaded to be a Christian. It's not enough to be near the kingdom. Thou art not far from the kingdom, Jesus said to one young man. Maybe that's true of you. You've begun to flee. You've got a certain distance, maybe over halfway. You're not far, but you're not far enough. You must get within the city. There is no safety if you stop short. No doubt there were those who started to flee to Hebron in Bible days, but they stopped short. I see a man run to the city as he flees, the avenger of blood. He makes haste for the gate. But my dear friends, he doesn't make it. Oh, the pursuer is behind him, the avenger of blood. He's pressing on his heels with relentless speed. The weary manslayer, he foolishly sits down for a rest, perhaps. He thinks, I'm not in immediate danger. I'm almost at the city. I'm nearly there. I'll take a rest. But the avenger sees the favorable opportunity. He springs upon him with surprise. And he plunges the sword into his heart. And I can but imagine the agonizing look of the wretched man as in death he glances up. He glances up towards the city of refuge. As he looks there, an awful cry of despair fills his mind and his heart and his voice. Almost there, but he perishes. He perishes before he reaches the city. That there are even those who come right up to the gate and they hesitate to enter, like Abner of old. You know the story. And the avenger smites them in the dust. Where? Just outside the city. Oh, the tragedy of those who come so near, who hasten in some measure towards the city of refuge. May I even get to the gates of heaven, and they fail to enter in, and they die in their sin. Is this you? Is it going to be you? You are in jeopardy. You are in danger. I have one final word to leave with you. That's the word security. I think of those that made it to Hebron, the city of refuge. They come with full speed down the valley, stopping for nothing. They know the danger. They realize the seriousness of the moment. And so they flee. They reach the open gate, bound over the threshold, and they stand safely within. The elders of the city meet such individuals. They asked, how did they come to stand so boldly in their city? Perhaps they would say, you are stained with blood, and your trembling frame testifies that you are a guilty man. Yes, I confess it's true. But it's on that very account that I have fled for refuge. His case is heard by the elders. He's given a sanctuary, and the avenger cannot harm him there. And so it is for those who flee to Jesus for refuge. They lay hold upon Christ for mercy. They believe that he was the way of deliverance, the only way to the Father. They come to trust in his finished and his perfect work on behalf of sinners. They venture all upon him in what Christ came to do and accomplish. I thank God today that I have entered in. I remember the day when I fled to the haven of rest. It was many years ago. I was just a child. But I remember bowing my knee at my bedside before the Lord and crying out to him for mercy. Christ is my advocate. He speaks for me. He represents me now at the Father's right hand. He pleads my cause, and I am thus accepted. I am perfectly secure in Christ, my city of refuge. What about you? How is it with you today? This church is to be a city of refuge for souls, a place where sinners can meet the Savior and be brought nigh to him through the blood of the cross. If you are lost in this meeting, you're without Christ, you're still in your sin, I make no apology for telling you your need and saying to you today that you need to flee. You need to run with all haste to the city. The pursuer is after you to cut you down. There's only one place of safety, and that's Christ. My friends, you get to the city of refuge, which is Christ, and the avenger cannot touch you there. May God make this church such a place where sinners find the Lord. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for the dear Son of God who is the refuge for sinners. Thank you for Christ and all that he came to do to purchase eternal redemption for those of his people. Lord, make this congregation such a place where sinners are rescued and brought near to Christ through the blood of the cross. Lord, we know that divine justice will cut the sinner down because of sin. We are condemned. But glory to God that the opportunity is given. The door has been opened. The place has been found where sinners can be saved. And that's Christ. Should there be those among us today who know not the Lord, bring them to the Savior. And may they run now with all haste to Calvary. And Lord, bless your people as we've listened to this message and help us to be that rescuer of the souls of men, to point them in the right way, to bring them into the church where they'll hear the gospel and be gloriously converted to Christ. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just maybe to sing, "The Lord's Our Rock and Him We Hide." Just one verse as we close the service. It's 571. He's a shelter in the time of storm, secure. Whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm.
Thank you.
help to anyone here, please come and see us after the service. Anyone troubled in your soul about the things of God, you need to get to Christ. You need to get to the haven of rest. May you flee today. Is there a Christian here and you're struggling and you need to talk to us? We're here. Come and see us after the service. We're going to ask the new arrivals, Anna, if they would like to go to the door. Tonight will be more difficult, you know, with supper and that kind of thing, but we can greet them at the door. If the Reverend and Mrs. Hannah, who haven't been with us for a wee while, would like to go to the door also, just to say Dobre Otra, which is good morning, but it's now a good afternoon. Not sure what afternoon is, but we'd love you to do that too, brother. Thank you. Gracious God, dismiss us now with the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Abide with us through the afternoon and bring us again together in your will to the house of God this evening as we have our special service together. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.